Hello, and welcome back to Season 2 of Visiting Dugout, a Fans First Sports Network production. If you are new here, I'm Crystal O'Keefe, podcaster, managing editor, writer, and problem solver for Southside Sox. On this show, I will preview each White Sox matchup during the 2024 season with guests joining to talk about their teams. Today I've got one of my favorite people on the planet, Tommy Barbie. He's going to be here to talk about the Atlanta Braves, boo. Welcome, Tommy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, if some reason people don't know you, please feel free to introduce yourself.
Absolutely. I am Tommy Barbie. My Twitter handle is Kind of Blue. I am on Southside Sox as well, but you can find me talking about all of the fun teams in the Southeastern Seaboard, most notably today, the Atlanta Braves.
Yes, you are super close to all of them. You're super close to the Knights too.
Yes.
So I hope
you see Colson Montgomery.
Yes. Are you going to see any of their games this season?
I do plan to. As soon as I heard the roster, I was like, okay, there's actually quite a few guys to check out. Because last year the only real prospect that I could see was Noah Schultz, which was incredible. But I'm hoping to do more this year.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm jealous. I need to get down there at some point. Absolutely. Usually just see them when they're up in Indy, and that's not as often as I wish.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is not a Charlotte Knights podcast. We probably have one. I don't know. But what is new in Atlanta this season?
So much, and so much for White Sox fans too, because there are a number of moves that the Braves made that I think really puzzled a lot of people, because, you know, a lot of folks were thinking Dylan Cease would end up in Atlanta. Of course, one of the big name pitchers they're expecting to end up in Atlanta. And instead, they took the route of acquiring Chris Sale, which would not be anyone's first choice given where he's at in his career right now. But he pitched really well in spring training. I don't think the White Sox will get to match up with him unless there's a rain delay, but still would have been really cool. Also, they took on Jared Kelenic, who I have loved since the draft. I wanted him to be picked over Nick Madrigal in the draft. Hasn't really panned out so far with the Mariners and kind of burned all the bridges there. Bounced around and has been their platoon / reclamation project that has very much divided Atlanta fans on whether or not he can really stick as an everyday guy. But between his bat and his speed, it's really hard to kind of, you know, go against him. Mm-hmm. And just like a lot of moves like that, where they didn't make any major splashes, but they did a lot of really small complementary pieces that, for a team that is, as odd as it sounds, has a chip on their shoulder after getting knocked out by the Phillies, they are really looking to find ways to go deeper into the playoffs. And that was what their focus was on the offseason.
Do you have an idea maybe of like what best move they did make? Like, in your opinion, what was the best pickup or move?
Ironically, I think one of their best pickups was actually getting Aaron Bummer.
No, that's, and, I mean, they have the of white.
Yeah. The reason being that when they traded away a number of players that likely weren't going to be on the Atlanta roster for the year anyway, so it wasn't a huge loss for them, but they have a good closer. They have complimentary guys in the bullpen, but they didn't have that situational pitching that they could really count on from the left side. And with their pitching coach and their staff, I think Bummer will actually do really well in Atlanta this year. And that's the kind of move where, like, yes, I think Sale will do well so long as he isn't hurt. We haven't talked about him yet, but Ronaldo Lopez, I think, will do really well there. But I do think that that Bummer trade made a ton of sense for the team, because they need those high leverage guys that they can rely on. And I think the White Sox, just because they he was a guy that was semi-reliable, always ended up in situations that he should have never been in as a reliever.
And Bummer, that's the thing. Aaron Bummer is not bad.
Bad, no.
Bad pitcher. He just was never properly developed, which is kind of the story for
the major theme.
Pitching
yeah.
staff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how would you grade the offseason then?
I would say it's probably a B plus. And I think that they had a very solid offseason. I liked the Ronaldo Lopez signing. It was 3 years, $30 million, which people were like, that's way too high. But I don't think anyone expected him to be able to be a end of the rotation guy. Mm-hmm. Plus, they have more flexibility now where he can come out of the bullpen if they need him out of the bullpen, but he can also start games. And that is really what they need because they have such a strong 1-3 with Max Fried, Spencer Strider, and Charlie Morton. Having Sale and Lopez coming, like rounding out that rotation, that's a damn good rotation to have. So I really liked the moves that they made in that way.
Yeah, and again, Raylo, phenomenal pitcher.
Yes.
Not
utilized well.
Yeah. No. That's the thing. Like some of my favorite days were the days where he would get the start, mm-hmm. eat a bunch of innings, do perfectly fine. Kopech would come in, eat like two innings, and then they could just kind of hand it over to someone to finish it up. Yeah. Those were great games.
Absolutely.
They just can't do anything.
And now Kopech is wandering around in middle relief for some reason. So yeah.
It was pretty brutal. Watching him pitch on opening day.
That was bad. Yeah.
And I was stone cold sober watching all that happen.
I'm sorry, because you shouldn't have been. And frankly, like, I don't know how I worry about him just because mm-hmm. of his confidence. That's someone that has relied a lot on trying to have small wins to kind of increase their performance over time. And just between the demotion and then the first time out, being put in that situation, it's not a great start.
No. And he had so much potential, too. And it's been wasted with this team.
Yeah.
Oh, story. That's their new motto. Wasted with this team. So you mentioned them having a chip on their shoulder. And
yeah,
for sure, I agree. I did not see the Phillies actually taking that series with them.
I don't think anybody did, really. No.
I was excited. I did not actually think it was going to happen, though. But are you feeling confident about this team going into 2024 and kind of being that powerhouse that they are known as?
I think so. I mean, what is great about the situation that Atlanta's in right now is that you have the Dodgers kind of taking the spotlight from the National League, where they have all of the superstars, they're handing out all these big contracts. And, you know, in the NL East, like, it's a very competitive division. There aren't really bad teams in that division. So I think it has given them an opportunity to fly under the radar more than they have been. And, you know, which is just really weird to say, given the talent that they have. But I don't think that people are really expecting them in the same way that they have before. And that's really plays into their strengths.
Right. And I've mentioned this on one of the predictions podcasts for Southside Sox, that mm-hmm. everyone seems to be very high right now on the Dodgers. And I said, that's a bunch of really big egos that need to really gel.
That haven't played together yet. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And you've got all of this Shohei drama. We have no idea, you know, what's going to happen with the Shohei drama just yet. And I don't think that they're going to be this dominant team this year. Because again, you had two of the best players in baseball in the Angels, and they can't win.
They couldn't win. Yeah.
Anything.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, even with the Dodgers, how many have they won given all of the superstar power that they've had even up to this season? So, I mean, I think for a team that has historically had great regular seasons, but then done terribly in the playoffs, it shouldn't be this assumption that they're automatically going to win because they got, you know, Shohei at this massive contract.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see where that ends up.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, before we get into the series, we'll take a very quick break to pay some bills. If you're watching us on YouTube, I'm just writing 10 minutes in for a break. All right, and welcome back. So let's get into the series in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
There are not actually pitching matchups on there for Atlanta yet, which, you know, that's fine. But you guys did opening day, Spencer Strider, Max Fried, and then old friend alert, Chris Sale will be the one pitching next. So could Raylo face the Sox? And then, you know, the White Sox, they're currently showing Chris Flexen, and then back to Garrett Crochet, who dominated on opening day. Last game to be determined for both teams. So what can you say about this rotation and like your predictions for who we might face?
Yeah, I thought it would have been really cool to have both Sale and Raylo facing off against the White Sox. I was hoping there would be an additional rain out where that would have come to fruition. But, you know, it's I'm sure pissed off Raylo is absolutely going to pitch for the Atlanta facing off against the Sox as the opener. And then it's back to the top of the rotation with Fried and Strider. And that's not going to go well. Based on how the White Sox have been doing against the Tigers with the amount of strikeouts that they have, I think there's going to be some really ugly numbers for White Sox fans really throughout the entire series, but especially with Strider and Fried going because they've been really at the top of their game. You know, like I said, they've done really well against the Phillies, so they are really playing with a lot of confidence, and they have that same level of swagger that you would expect from a team that has accomplished a lot, but also knows that they have something to prove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, we mentioned Garrett Crochet, phenomenal. We have not really seen Chris Flexen outside of spring training.
Yeah.
And then it was just Michael Soroka, mm-hmm. you know, most recently, and he got rocked. That was not a good debut.
Atlanta fans know that well. Yeah. He has shown he's the most frustrating prospect, and I know that people love him. I think even for the predictions, I had him as being potentially the best White Sox pitcher. He has these flashes of absolute brilliance, and then it looks like he's never played baseball before, and that has just been his back and forth, where between that and the injuries, I'm not surprised Atlanta gave up on him as easily as they did. It didn't come lightly. So, you know, that this is a team that prides itself on pitching development. So if they give up on a guy, it's usually it's for a reason.
That's when the White Sox pick them up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Garrett Crochet was just brilliant. Again, I was so thankful to watch that.
Yeah.
Yeah, out live. It was, you know, at that first game. And not a single walk.
I know.
That was
the only reason why he was able to pitch as long as he did, too. Because, yeah. I mean, he was in control the whole time.
Yeah, and he went pretty deep into it. I was thinking, like, oh, we'll maybe get, like, four out of him.
Absolutely.
This is not his normal role. But to see, I mean, he went through six, no walks, so many strikeouts. Like,
yeah.
And that only run was more of a farce than anything. That wasn't on him.
Yeah.
Just incredible, which is amazing to see. So I'm just kind of waiting for the other shoe to fall now with him.
Yeah. I mean, he has that slider was really working. And I mean, if he can. And this is where the Chris Sale comparison comes into play, because Sale had that similar fastball slider combo that was really hard to key in on. But coming out of that lefty arm slot, if he can just keep those two pitches in the mix, that's more than enough to at least get him through five innings with consistency. So, I mean, I think having the extra confidence from the opening day starts a huge boost, but mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see him pitch. I'm also hoping that Nick Nastriti gets a call up to be the TBD starter, but we'll see if that actually happens, because I think he is a lot to get excited about too for White Sox fans.
I agree. And a lot of people, I remember on the prediction things, a lot of people actually did have him picked for kind of a best pitcher. I put no one.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Yeah.
I watch this team way too closely on a daily basis. And it's just, I've seen this film so many times.
Yeah. But I mean, I think in terms of the overall series, it will be a pitching dominated series, similar to what we saw on opening day, where it's going to be a lot of low scoring games. You know, there might be a couple of outings, especially depending on who's pitching for the White Sox, if they get to the bullpen early. I think, you know, the most recent game against the Tigers kind of illustrated that the White Sox don't have a ton of depth in the bullpen. So if you get to their bullpen guys, that's when the score can get ugly. But if the starters are able to go six, seven innings, I would expect it to be a low scoring affair.
Yeah, the Sox, though, also have the disadvantage of Martin Maldonado just not being a good
catcher. Being very good. Yeah.
I feel like I still do not, like, it sucks so much that Max Stassi got injured when he did, because at least he acts like he's been there before, because he has. But why Corey Lee got called up just to not even get
to not play.
Yeah. Is just blows me away, because Corey Lee was really good. I would have swapped those two out in the beginning, but hey, you know what? It is what it is.
Yeah. And to say that you have someone for, you know, teaching guys how to play the right way and all of the veteran speak that people like to assume on mediocre to bad teams, that's great, but let him coach. Like, he doesn't need to be playing every day if he's just trying to, you know, teach the kids, so to speak, on how to play the game. Like, he doesn't need to start to do that. And that's where it feels like a missed opportunity for somebody like Corey Lee, who needs the reps to be able to play.
Yeah. Oh, enough about that disaster. So this team is full of threats to the White Sox, but who might be the biggest threat to this team right now?
I mean, you always have to go with Ronald Acuña Jr. Like, that's just... You got him, you got Austin Riley, you got... I mean, there's so much power on this team. It's really scary once the offense gets going. I think it will be interesting, speaking of Martin Maldonado, to see how Atlanta plays on the base paths, because I could see them being really aggressive just to mess with the pitcher's timing, messing with the catchers a little bit. So this might be an interesting series, just like a game within the game standpoint, to kind of watch how they handle all the different pitching, especially if it's like any of the younger pitchers that the White Sox have.
Yeah, for sure. I hate how much I love Acuña Jr.
He's so much fun to watch.
He is. He is just one of those players right now that if you're not cheering for him, you could hate Atlanta. I hate Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but he is so much fun to watch.
Yes. Yes. I mean, the whole team is a lot of fun, and they are a really well-run organization, have been for a long time. And that does make them very easy to hate, but they're really doing a great job.
I mean, they were good when we were kids. I remember the hype when we were
when we
we were our children's ages.
Yes. Bobby Cox era. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, they're just one of those teams where if you are not, if you're not like in Atlanta, you hate, they're like the Patriots of baseball.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now the Patriots are terrible. They are like the late 2000s. Well,
Patriots up until, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Up until Brady left. So with that, what are the keys for Atlanta to take the series? Clearly, messing with young pitchers and catchers are a great idea, but what else can they do to really dominate?
Yeah, I think that's the big one. I think on offense for Atlanta, you're looking at really jumping on those first couple of pitches from the White Sox pitching, because they are pounding the strike zone a lot, which is great to start the season, but I worry that it's going to start getting to what I would call like the Giolito effect, where he was just throwing first ball fastball, and once people figured that out, they just started teeing off on him. A lot of the other pitchers are starting to do that now, so that could be something to watch out for. And then for the from the pitching side and defense side, just really continuing to make the White Sox batters chase bad pitches, because they will do that. And it doesn't have to be a strike every single time. Just stay close to the plate, and absolutely most of those guys are going to go chasing after it.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
As we've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you listened to opening day, though, but it was really funny. Steve Stone made a comment about how Javi Baez will chase every single thing that's thrown at him, and then he gets like the one hit and ends up scoring.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on the plus side, at least Luis Robert is playing well. So, I mean, there's that. Mm-hmm. There, you have at least one guy to pitch around on a continuous basis. That's good.
Yeah. And I think I'm just really hoping pretty soon Eloy is waking up. They made a comment about him today on the broadcast, how he's mm-hmm. like first one there, first one to leave for batting yeah. practice, you know. So I'm hoping that this is kind of his year where he has realized to not do very stupid things that will injure yeah. him.
Yeah.
And to actually have that plate discipline. Like, you know, he's not new anymore. He's been here for a bit. And his plate discipline was just brutal to watch for the longest time. So I'm hoping this is the year it connects with him.
Yeah, I mean, it was plate discipline, it's been a problem. The other big problem for him has been his swing plane has been really poor, where he's constantly either like doing a chop down swing or doing like a weird flat swing, where every single time he was getting on top of pitches and just beating it into the ground. So like you would look at the exit velocity and it's like 100 miles per hour, but it was a ground out to the shortstop that like left a divot in the ground because he hit it on the ground so hard, but it didn't go anywhere. So yeah. I think him getting the ball elevated is a good sign. Hasn't led to a ton of hits yet, but like at least if he's doing that, that bodes well. But I agree, his plate discipline has to improve. I mean, all these guys really, like Moncada, all of them have been around long enough to know, or should know, here's where the strike zone is, here's what I can really hit and either take deep or take it the other way for a single. But like it shouldn't be this all or nothing approach that so many of the guys have taken.
Yeah. Watching some of them makes me really miss Yasmani Grandal more and more each day.
Yeah. I mean, at least when he was up, like you knew that inning, you would see more than 9 pitches thrown by the opposing pitcher. Yeah. Like he knew how to work in at bat, and they don't really have guys that can do that now.
Oh, for sure. And people can say what they will about Yasmani. I will love him until the end of time. But at least he was the veteran that could teach you something.
Absolutely. And I, you know, everybody is an asshole until they play for a winning team. And I think that was the only difference between Yasmani Grandal and his stops at the, you know, the Brewers, the Dodgers, everywhere else. Same dude. It was just they were winning teams. And he was on a really awful White Sox team towards the end of his career. I'm not surprised that he was a surly bastard. I would be too.
Yeah, he has every right to be.
Yeah, I mean, I would be too. If I was like, I'm at the end of my career and this is the shitstorm that I'm dealing with, I would be a pissy man too. Yeah.
So on the opposite end, what is something that maybe the White Sox could take advantage of?
I think if they are, you know, assuming that they're facing Raylo, they know him well. That would be a huge opportunity for them. Going against Spencer Strider, make him throw a lot of pitches. Like you've seen the stat lines where he'll strike out 12 or 14 guys, but it's like five innings. And it's like, all right, well, you're making the rest of the bullpen do all of this heavy lifting to get through the rest of the game. So I think if they can find a way to work the count even a little bit, that could go well for them. That's a lot to ask, but yeah, that's the only way.
Are you listening? Let him throw pitches.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and I think it's that and laying off the high pitches, because all three, Fried, Raylo, Strider, love throwing high fastballs, especially as a show me pitch. They have to lay off of those. Otherwise, it's going to be a long, long series.
Yeah, for sure. Well, getting away from this series, we can at least move on to all of baseball now. Mm-hmm. So, thoughts, predictions, anything that you just would love to say about this 2024 season? I know we are not even at sample size yet, but where are you at with it?
You know, I think it's going to be a very interesting year because there are more teams at play for like that second tier sneaking into the wild card than there have been previously. You got teams like the Giants that made like a last second rush of all these acquisitions. You have the Padres where they might actually be able to put it together. You have the AL East, which is stacked as always. And it's such a fascinating time for baseball. And that's why I think it does sting so much as a White Sox fan how bad this team is right now. I mean,
it's in the worst division at that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, there's so much parity in the league right now. There aren't that many bad teams. So for the White Sox to be so bad right now makes it hurt more.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Who did you put for coming out on the AL East? Who's your winner?
I went with the Yankees because okay. I actually, same way that I feel like Atlanta has a chip on their shoulder, I think the Yankees also have a chip on their shoulder for good reason. I know the whole Gerrit Cole situation is weird, and asking for Yankees players to stay healthy feels about as realistic as White Sox players to stay healthy at this point. But to me, they have been so incredibly unlucky recently that it feels like a regression to the mean would be for them to kind of outperform what they've been doing recently. And they have a ton of young, talented guys on that roster that have shown bits of improvement but haven't really put it all together. So for me, it's kind of a dark horse pick. I was like, you know, the Yankees could really be the team that I see outperforming and really making a deep run on the AL side.
Yeah, and last season Aaron Judge was out forever.
Yeah,
and that crushed them.
Yeah,
I know Gerrit Cole's timeline is a little funny, but I don't think he's going to miss too much time. I mean,
I don't think so either.
Instead, it doesn't seem like a ton of time. And he's probably the best pitcher in the league right now.
He is. Yeah.
And then DJ LeMahieu was just injured too, which is kind of a big blow to them as well. But at the same time, like you said, they do have a ton of really young guys. They have Carlos Rodon, who has shown flashes of brilliance. We've seen it firsthand. And I mean, they've got people like Giancarlo Stanton who can crush
and Juan Soto.
Yeah,
like, you have this lineup of just like a who's who of power hitters. Like, it has to work out at some point for them.
Yeah, and again, as long as Aaron Judge can play, I know he still has issues. He still has toe issues.
Yeah,
which I am just very curious as to what happened. And I know that was they were playing the White Sox when that did happen.
When that happened, yes.
We kind of collectively broke a bunch of Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Fans' hearts, but again, when healthy, he's scary.
Yeah,
and Garrett Cole coming back is scary, which is funny because he's like the biggest goofball, but he's also just completely terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I'm probably in love with him. I want to laugh and be scared.
Yeah. What about you? What dark horses are you kind of looking at on the AL side?
I know I picked the Rays, mm-hmm. and I talked about how they are really good at sneaking through.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't necessarily expect it, and suddenly they gain this huge momentum, and that's enough that can usually push them right into the playoffs. I know I picked them. I'm trying to think of who else I picked. I don't know. I'm still a little high on the Orioles. I think they can do it. I think last year was a really good indication of how good that team is. And they don't even have their star prospects.
They're not all
right now.
They're not all together yet. That's the scary part. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I mean, you see people like Adley Rutschman, and they still have James McCann, which I still love, and he's still still just fine.
Still good. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty high on them. I will say that. I do think I picked the Rangers to come back again to the World Series. And they took out the trash and got rid of Chapman, which is good. Although now he's on my
strangely with the Pirates now, which why?
Like, what did Hutchin Dazoo deserve this? What did he do to deserve that? Because this, I say that I've said this a couple years now, but this is probably going to be his last year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised, you know, because he was injured last season. I wasn't sure if he was even going to come back this year. So why would you put that piece of garbage on a team with one of the most wholesome MLB players of all time?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, the punishment for some of those guys should be they should be forced to play in Oakland.
Yes.
I'm like that. That's your punishment.
Although I don't want to see them when I go to Oakland this year. I have to see the
A's. Okay, that's fair. You are going to see them. So I wouldn't wish that for you. But I think that like you need a similar banishment where it's just like you don't get to play for this team. We're sending you to Oakland. We're sending you to Colorado. Like, just go rot there, and we'll forget that you play baseball.
Wait, what did poor Chris Bryant do, though, to go rot in Colorado?
That's what happens when you take the money. You have to look at what you're taking the money from, and he should have known better.
We all know that the Cubs winning that World Series is what turned the world completely on its ass.
Absolutely.
So maybe that was his punishment, actually. Ending up well. I mean, now he can get high if he wants, I guess. But
that's true. That's something he can do.
I have to see the A's.
I wouldn't.
Damn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I wouldn't play, you know, sober if I were him.
I do have a Chris Bryant bobblehead though, a Rockies one. He's a Jedi.
Nice.
He's got the purple lightsaber too. He's got the Samuel Jackson special. Because my cousin, she lives out there, and I was like, I will pay anything that you need me to pay. I just would like to own that bobblehead because I am a big Star Wars girly, and Chris Bryant has really
pretty eyes. Chris Bryant. Yeah.
So please. She shipped it right out to me. So I was like, thank you for your service and watching
that
team
awesome.
Play. I'm very sorry.
Or just walking through the gate and walking right back out, because that's what I would have done.
She stayed for the game. I think she was with
Okay.
She loves baseball.
When
she was still here, we went to a ton of minor league games. That's where we spent her 21st birthday.
Okay.
Minor league game. That would be fun to banish those players. Or like make a team in prison.
That too.
Surely we can set that up.
I can think of a number of players that will be on that roster. Yeah.
Yeah, or at least should be by now.
Yeah.
But instead they settle and go to therapy. I'm just so bummed. He does not deserve to be at PNC. If anybody was not watching Tommy just now, if you're listening, that's unfortunate because we don't believe the therapy thing.
No. I believe in therapy in general, but just like that's not what any of these assholes are actually doing.
No. So, yeah. No, they're barely even paying the mother of their children.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gosh, there's some real bad people in this league. Anything else about this season? Who are your World Series contenders?
The World Series, I have the Yankees in Atlanta because, let's party like it's the 1990s and just throw them together again. I was like, nobody would like that, but that's just kind of what I see unfolding. I think the one really kind of outside pick that I made is I have the Miami Marlins as the final NL wildcard team in. And that's really just because I still think they've made a ton of great offseason moves. Mm-hmm. And they have Sandy Alcantara, who they will probably trade and get a very nice package of prospects in return for him that could probably make an immediate impact. Mm-hmm. That's where it's like, I think they have something there. So that's probably the one pick where it's a little bit more outside the norm compared to the rest of the Southside Sox writers. But other than that, I see Yankees and Braves kind of rematching in the World Series, as it were. And between those two teams, I have no idea who would win it, but I just think that would be a fascinating thing to watch as a baseball fan, even though both franchises are probably two of the most hated franchises in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, just throw like some Astros players in there or something.
Hey, if we had to suffer through, bang bang trash can guys for several years, we can handle one or two of the Yankees and Braves. So
that's did you ever see the pictures from the baseball birthday party I threw my son a couple years
ago? I did. Yes.
For those that don't like follow my private Instagram account. My son requested a baseball themed birthday party. He'd been playing since he was 5 and he will be 14 this year. So we ended up getting every single MLB team's little Sunday cap. We'd been collecting them forever and I just found the rest of them that I needed. But for the Astros, I found this little mini metal trash can online from Amazon, and we just taped down that Astros hat to the trash can so nobody could use it. And I think I named them like Trash Joes. I don't know. It was something. Everyone thought it was hilarious because we don't have any Astros fans in my family. Thank goodness. That's about
how you should insert a picture for those that are watching on YouTube, because that was really amazing that you did that.
I will look for it. It's in my phone somewhere. I don't ever delete pictures. With the Atlanta, New York World Series, I think just for this time, if we're going to go back to the 90s, we should allow steroids in the game. because
so all the score, it would be like 20 to 15, you know, exactly. Every single game.
I don't care what people think about that, those times of the steroids, but if you did not grow up in the 90s watching the likes of Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds. Sosa, yeah. Like if you weren't watching them in the 90s and seeing how fun the steroids era truly was.
It was an insane time. Like I still remember because I saw Sammy Sosa at the Diamondbacks ballpark hit a home run that was so damn hard. It went off of the batter's eye in like the second deck of the ballpark and left an indentation in the wall. Like that's how hard he hit the ball. And it's just, it made the sound in the ballpark that I still remember. And this was 20 years ago that this happened.
Yeah. Those home run derbies, baseball truly peaked.
Yeah. When the cameras had to like look for places that nobody had ever seen before in that ballpark of like, okay, where did Mark McGwire hit it? I don't know. It went in like the lighting somewhere.
I just remember the counting. Like you're like, oh my gosh, how many has he hit now? Oh my gosh, he's hit that many home. Like you're just constantly like counting and they're just kind of battling against each other.
Oh, absolutely.
Best times.
And it's not like now where it's like barely grazing over the wall. Like we're talking about 500 plus foot home runs that were just nowhere to be found.
Yeah. Man, those were so good. That was, you know, right up there. And we just talked about this on Dog Out of History, one of the 5,000 podcasts I do. We just talked about the decade before that with the Pittsburgh drug trials where it was not good. There were not home runs and the Pirates only won like 50 games that year. So
those were not good times at all. Yeah.
Use responsibly.
Yeah. I mean, I think now that Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame, I say all bets should be off for all the other steroids users because Selig to me profited the most from the Hall of Fame era and he managed to make a ton of money and get into the Hall of Fame himself. So why not the players?
Just do it. It's not like they were controversial figures like others that are not in the Hall of Fame for good reason. They were just, you know, trying to pump it up.
Absolutely.
Make baseball fun again.
Yeah. Is that the title of this podcast?
Make baseball fun again. I'm going to write that in my notes right now. All right. Well, that's all I've got. Tommy, it is always a pleasure chatting with
you. Likewise. I'm
sure we will be together again to talk about more Southeast teams.
For sure. And I am preemptively sorry that the Braves will likely sweep the series. So,
I predicted, I think, 61 wins for the White Sox. So
that's okay. Same. Same. I think I did 60.
Nobody
we're right
went
there.
70, so
I don't know how anyone got to 70. So that's a whole different podcast.
Woof. All right. Well, thank you again. Please follow Tommy on Twitter, and then you obviously can see him. It's Outside Sox, especially around Festivus time, where he truly shines with Soxivus.
I try.
So, all right.
Thank you as always.
Yes, see you later.